Praise the Lord. Title on the screen today, 20 years without the ark, 20 years without the presence of God. There was a people on the pages of the Bible who were 20 years without the presence of God, and we're going to read about them and learn about them today. Let's begin to look at the scripture in 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel 7, verses 2 to 12, gives this account. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." He will deliver you. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. It was one of the places where his ministry was centered. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us. Thus far has the Lord helped us." 1 Samuel 7 and verse 2. King James says, "It came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." This morning, how long has it been since you have lamented after the Lord? How long has it been since the house of Israel, your house, your family, has lamented after the Lord? That you have wept and cried out until tears have run down your cheeks. Tears of brokenness, where you've cried out for the presence of God and you've sought God with all your heart. Your family has sought God with all their heart, so desperate for the presence and life of God that you feel like your heart would break if you don't have his presence, if you don't have his life, if you don't have his anointing in your house and in your midst and in everything you do, that your life isn't totally enveloped in the presence of the Lord. How long has it been since you have lamented after the Lord? The Bible says it came to pass, it was a long time. It was 20 years. Maybe there's someone here this morning. Maybe there is someone here this morning, and it's been 20 years since you lamented after the Lord. 20 years since you had a real breakthrough in your life, and you've been plodding along and under oppression and under difficulty and bound up in your own spirit and life, not walking in the victory of the Lord. Today is your day in the Lord. Today is your day to receive from the Lord. You know, 20 years is a long time. A lot can happen in 20 years. A lot of oppression can slip into a family and into a life over 20 years, a life that's unguarded in their spirit, in their manner before the Lord. How long has it been? I want to read the words of a gospel song, a song that has blessed me since my childhood, and once in a while the Holy Spirit brings it across my heart over the years. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? How long has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been that you knew that he cared for you? 20 years in the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. I pray there would be a fresh lament in our heart, a fresh cry after the Lord this morning. 20 years went by, 20 years of enemy encroachment, enemy oppression, worldliness set in, compromise set in among the people of God. 20 years that Samuel quietly went about his business in the kingdom. The last time we heard of Samuel before 1 Samuel 7 was 20 years earlier when he had been raised up as a young prophet in the land, a man to carry the message of God and help bring deliverance to the people of God. 20 years had gone by and Samuel had quietly gone about his business, serving the Lord, ministering to the faithful remnant as he could. But now Israel, under oppression, came to Samuel and said, "Cry out to the Lord for us. We need deliverance." Why should Samuel care? Because the truth is that people that are spiritual care. People that are spiritual pray. People that are spiritual give. People that are spiritual put themselves under spiritual burden, that there can be a release from oppression and people can be set free. The Bible says Jesus, the Son of God, came to seek and to save those that are lost. Unspiritual people don't really care. They may say they care, but in works they deny it. Samuel cared. He called the people together, it says, to a place called Mizpah. Mizpah means watchtower. He called them to a place, as the Bible says, watch and pray. He brought them back to a place of spiritual vigilance to alert their spirit to the enemies, to the trouble, to the worldliness in their own hearts. He said, "I'll gather you to Mizpah. Come to the watchtower. Come to the place of prayer where you can get your spirit sensitized to God once again. That's where I'll minister to you." And the Bible says that the people came to Mizpah, and Samuel did something very important. That day they fasted. That day they separated themselves to God once again. That day they devoted their lives to the presence of the Lord and to serve God with all their heart. And at one point Samuel drew water, and he poured it out, the Bible says, before the Lord. He drew water, and he poured it out on the ground. He poured it out before the Lord. It was a symbolic act. And all of Israel was watching him that day as he poured out water before the Lord. What does that water speak of? Well, it can speak of a number of things. It can speak of the people's repentance, of how they recognized that they were nothing and the Lord was everything, that their lives without the Lord were like water spilt on the ground that would soak into the ground and be gone. According to 2 Samuel 14:14, the scripture says, "For we must needs die." We are going to die. And we will be as water spilt on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. But the word goes on to say that in spite of the frailty of man, in spite of our human weakness, that God has devised a means whereby he can bring those that are banished from him, the prodigals, the unsaved, back to his presence. Samuel poured out water, a sign the people saying, "We are nothing, Lord, and you are everything. We break in repentance. Our lives will be vanished like this water that goes upon the ground. But you, our Lord, will give us everlasting life." That water poured out could have spoken of intercession and tears. As Jeremiah 9:1 says, Jeremiah on the behalf of his people in his day. He said, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the captives among the people of God. My head were waters and my eyes were fountains of tears, that I could weep for those that have been taken captive by the enemy. Samuel poured out water. It was a sign of the intercession. It was a sign of the anguish, the cry of his heart as he interceded for the people before the Lord, that they would receive the victory of the Lord in their lives. Poured out water before the Lord. Poured out water before the Lord. Isaiah 44 in verse 3 says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing on your offspring. Samuel was taking that water, pouring out the buckets and saying, God is going to visit you because of your repentance. God's going to visit you because of your separation unto him today. The blessing of the Lord is going to flow down over your sons and daughters. The earth is going to produce again, so dry, so parched, but the waters, the life-giving waters of God, are coming on the land again. People gathered together. And you know, Samuel told them three things. They said, Samuel, we're under oppression. The enemies have brought us low. We're entangled with all kinds of worldly things. There's no freedom. There's no liberty. We're bound in our spirits. We're bound in our families. Samuel, cry to the Lord for us. Samuel told them three things. Number one, he said, get some fresh blood on your life. Get some fresh blood on your life. 1 Samuel 7:9, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. He took a little lamb and shed its blood. He said, people, you need some fresh blood on your life. Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We need the blood of God on our life, and we need it continually. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the present tense is there in the Greek, cleanses us continually from all sin. The blood of Christ is ever active. The blood will never lose its power. When we overcome the dragon, we need to first have the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of God, and by the full surrender of their lives. That's how you overcome the dragon. But first is the blood. The publican went up to the temple in Luke 18 and he smote his breast and he said, Lord, be merciful. Put your mercy seat, put your blood here on my life. He was saying, Lord, put your blood on my life. Put your blood here. Put your blood here. We need the daily application of the blood of Christ. In Old Testament days at the tabernacle and temple, the Lord prescribed that two lambs would be offered every day continually before the Lord on behalf of his people. One lamb in the morning and the other lamb in the evening. That every morning and every evening there would be a fresh flow of the blood, the atoning blood for the people of God. So that the people, when they rose up in the morning to go from their homes, to go out to their employment, to go to their occupation, to go to their business, they would be conscious. They would remember, there is fresh blood on the altar this morning. I can go out in the power of the blood. I can serve God today in the power of the blood of Christ. And at night they came back from their fields and businesses, and they came to their homes, and again at the tabernacle, as lamb was being offered and blood was being shed, and those people said, this night is a night consecrated to the Lord. This isn't a night for the entertainments of the world. This is a night for the presence of the Lord, that as a family, we're going to fold our lives in with fellowship. We're going to eat at our tables, and we're going to rejoice in the goodness of God, and we're going to lay our heads on our pillows at night, full of the Holy Spirit. Because the blood of God is upon our lives. We need the daily application of blood, morning and evening. Say, Lord, put the blood here. Plead the blood of God on your life in the morning and plead it on your life in the evening. Bible says Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. There are two times in the day when it gets cool, morning and evening. And morning and evening, Adam and Eve walked with God. And during the day, they labored in the garden. But at morning and evening, they walked with God and received his life and his presence into them. Bible says we are to declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night, Psalm 92. Walking with God morning and evening, the fresh blood of God on our life, the fresh blood of God on our life. James chapter 4 and verse 7, Bible says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I said it before, the reason some Christians are not able to resist the devil properly is that they are not submitted to God properly. If we will submit to the Lord properly, the devil will always flee from us when we resist him. That's the truth of God's word. He says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James wasn't speaking to unsaved people. He was speaking to the church. It was a letter to the Christians. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. The house of Israel lamented before the Lord. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Hallelujah. Cleanse our hands. Cleanse our hearts. Submit to the Lord. Return to the Lord, and the Lord will lift us up. Samuel said, get some fresh blood of the Lamb upon your life. Say, Lord, put the blood here. Ask God to touch you with his blood. Ask God to touch you with the blood of Jesus, that blood that will never lose its power every morning and every evening. Walk under that power of the blood. It's one way God will deliver you from your enemies. It's the first instruction that Samuel gave. Number two, he said, put away your idols, the Baals and Ashtoreths. Put away your idols. You mean the people of God had taken in idols? That's what the Bible says. The Baals and Ashtoreths. Baals was the male deity and Ashtoreth was the female deity. Baal and Ashtaroth, all mixed up with worldliness, sensuality, vileness, immorality, pleasure seeking. Samuel says, put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths. Put away the idols of the world. 1 Samuel 7:3, then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you will return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you. He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Hallelujah. We must put away the foreign gods. We must put away the Baals and Ashtoreths. We must put away the idols of this world. The Apostle John, in his first letter, the last verse, he said, little children, he's calling to the people of God. He's an aged man. Written near the end of the first century was the Gospel of 1 John. He said, little children, children, Christians, people of God, keep yourself from idols. Now, the Roman Empire was filled with idols. But he said, it's not just the idol, it's the demons behind those idols, because behind every idol is a demon power and a demon spirit. And the people of God were compromising themselves. Numbers 33 and verse 52, the Lord said, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you and destroy all their pictures. You shall destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. Now, where are the pictures today? Where are the pictures today? We all know where they are. They're on our screens. They're on our computer screens. They're on our TV screens. They're on the films and the videos. The pictures. Fornication and adultery, gossip and strife and angers and violence and crime and fears, and on it goes. Those are the pictures today. God says, I want you to take the pictures out. One of the reasons why the church today is under Philistine oppression, enemy oppression, is because of the worldliness that has come into the church. It's like the world is affecting the church more than the church is affecting the world. So many things flowing into the lives of Christians, into the house of God, the oppression of the enemy. And the church is trying to break through and trying to break through, but it just can't quite break through. Christians who need breakthrough, and they can't seem to break through. Families that need breakthrough, and they struggle, and they're oppressed, and they're under bondage, and they can't get free, they can't break through, they can't break through. Samuel said, put away the strange gods. Put away those images of the world. Put away those pictures of the world. Get that stuff away from your eyes and from your ears. And serve the Lord only, and He will deliver you from the oppression of the Philistines. Separate yourself unto the Lord. Now you may have to take a page out of Gideon's spiritual handbook. When the Lord told Gideon, pluck down the altars, pluck down the images that are in your family. Gideon was a young man. He wasn't the head of the house. His father, his mother, he had brothers. The Lord said, I want you to tear down the images. I want you to break the pictures in those days on the carved and the sculpted in pillars. He said, I want you to tear it down. But Gideon said, wow, he was so afraid. He said, I can't do it by day. There's too many people watching. But you know what he did? Under the cover of night, he broke down the images. He broke down all those pictures. Here his father, over the years, had compromised. A father that allowed things into the home that shouldn't have been there. And finally, one day, that young Gideon, in the middle of the night, said, I'm going to destroy all that. And when the family woke up in the morning, the junk was out of the house. The junk was out of the house. And the word was, you know, let God plead for you. Let God take care of you. And it's so beautiful that Gideon's father, who had allowed years of compromise, brought in that stuff and allowed it into his family, that Gideon's father that day repented and turned back to the Lord. Put away the Baals and Ashtaroths. Put away the scenes, the flesh scenes and the immoralities. They don't belong in the eyes of the people of God. They don't belong in our hearts. And serve the Lord fully. Samuel said, get some fresh blood on your life. Put away the Baals and the Ashtaroths. And number three, prepare your heart for the Lord. Prepare your heart for the Lord. Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparations of the heart belong to you and me, not to God. The preparations of the heart belong to us. And from there comes the answer of the Lord, His wisdom, His utterance, His understanding, His peace, His knowledge of to know what to do in circumstances and times of trouble. We prepare our hearts, and then the Lord gives the answer to our tongue. He lets us know out of that reservoir what we need to do at specific time and specific place. If you're going to be a worshiper like David, it's because you've prepared your heart to praise the Lord. It doesn't happen any other way. The preparations of the heart belong to you and me. If I want to be a worshiper like David and pour out my heart before the Lord, I must prepare my heart to praise the Lord. If I'm going to be a prayer warrior, I have to walk my body into that prayer room Sunday morning and Sunday night and Tuesday night and begin to pour out some unutterable gushings before the Lord, intercessions and cries that come out of the depth of my spirit before the Lord. The preparations to be a prayer warrior belong to you. They belong to me. If we're going to be men and women of the Word, it's because we've prepared our heart to seek the Lord. It's because we've taken this Word into our life and we have studied and we have labored in the Word and doctrine. Preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Samuel said, prepare your hearts for the Lord. Hosea 10 and verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, that is your untilled ground. Hasn't been broken up for a long time. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. If we will sow and we will seek the Lord, he will send the rain. That's his promise. If we sow, break up the fallow ground, sow the seed of God, sow supplications into our heart, seek the Lord with all our heart, he will always send the rain. And Zechariah 10:1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Ask of the Lord. You have to ask. You have to prepare your heart. Begin to cry out to God, Lord, I need rain. I need visitation. I want some fruitful fields. I want some victory. I want some anointing in my life. Ask of the Lord rain. The Lord will send showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get some fresh blood on your life. Put away the idols of the world. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. Spiritual leaders can only bring a certain level of breakthrough to a people, to a church. Even those who are helping you, discipling you, trying to encourage you in the Lord, they can only bring a measure, a certain level of breakthrough to your life, because this matter of ultimate breakthrough is so sacred, it is so holy, that it can only be gained personally between you and God. That is how special this is to the Lord, how sacred it is to the Lord. Ultimate breakthrough only comes, is only gained between a person and their God, one-on-one, alone in his presence. 1 Samuel 7, verses 10 to 12. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. People came to separate to the Lord, and the enemy drew near to battle. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-car. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Thus far the Lord has helped us. When the people of God determined to seek the Lord with all their heart, destroy the worldliness in their lives, and follow God with all their heart, the enemy rose up against them. The Philistines came up where they were gathered, but this time the people of God were not alone. This time the people of God were not on their own. The Bible says the heavens thundered, and heavy hail hit the ground and broke the enemies and drove them down the road to their destruction. God wants to thunder for us. God wants to fight our battles. And he will if we separate ourselves to the Lord in a proper way. He will come on the battlefield, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. God is going to bring some hailstones and some thunder and some fire upon our enemies. Because he said he'd deal with our enemies and he'd fight our battles. And if we're in the right place with the Lord, he will fight our battles. In Exodus 9 and 23, when the people of God were in captivity under the Egyptians, the Lord said, "Let my people go that they may serve me." You powers of the world, you powers of oppression, you Egyptian enemies, you want to hold my people in bondage. I say, let my people go. And the enemy said, we're not going to let the people go. And you know what happened one day? Hail came from the heavens and fire ran along the ground and destroyed the enemies and destroyed the land. God will fight for us with hailstones and fire. David, the worshiper, the man after God's own heart, in Psalm 18 and verse 13, this was his testimony. He said, "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and confused them." He said, God broke my enemies. Now, we don't read one place where that happened literally in David's life, but it happened in a spiritual sense for sure, and it does in our lives. David said, the Lord will thunder on my enemies. He will send hail. He will send out coals of fire. Say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, how about Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19? And the temple of God was opened in heaven. There's a temple in heaven. There's a house of God in the heavens. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. The Lord sending down hail from the heavens to destroy our enemies. Revelation 16 and 20, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Hail out of the heavens. I expect the Lord to come on my battlefield with fire and hail. I don't know how you read Revelation, but don't push it off into the future. It's here and now. We're fighting the dragon. We're fighting the brute beast. We're fighting the lamb beast of false religion. We are in the midst of conflict in this world. And God says, I will open the heavens. I will open my temple in the heavens. And I will send hail. And I will send out fire. And I will send out lightning to bring deliverance to my people. Thank God for his deliverance. Spiritual deliverance. Breaks our enemies and sets us free. Hallelujah. They drove the enemies as far as Beth Kar. Beth Kar means house of pasture, pasture land. The promise of the Lord was, I will make you to lie down in green pastures. I'll give you still waters. You can feed and you can rest and you can grow. They drove the enemy as far as Beth Kar. They drove the enemy and gained some pasture land. Some of you this morning need to gain some new pasture land to increase the inheritance of the Lord. The reason some Christians can't live in victory, and the reason why all of us at times can't live in victory, is because our land is too small. The measure that we have can't sustain the life that our spirit is crying for and needs to live in victory. We need to increase our land. We need to drive the enemy back. We need to gain some new ground in God so we can feed and be satisfied and know we're fed properly and live in the abundance of the victory of Christ. They drove the enemies as far as Beth Kar, and when they did, Samuel took a stone, he took a pillar, and he set it up, and he said, I call this place Ebenezer, meaning the stone of help. He says, because This far the Lord has helped us. This is a new marker. The enemy has encroached on our land, but we've beat him back this far, and we set a stone in this place that the enemy will not cross over this line in our lives again. We will live in pasture. We will have victory. We will walk in the presence and the anointing of the Lord. The Bible says, don't remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Proverbs 22, 28, I believe. Don't move the ancient landmarks which you have set. The Lord has given victory sometimes in our life, but slowly we allow the enemy to push back in. The Philistines want to oppress and depress us, and soon we're living far from the victory we once had in the Lord. The Bible says, don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't give the enemy 1 inch of ground, Ephesians 4, 27. You hold him back. You hold him back at the stone of help. You said, God, you brought me to victory this far in my life, and I'm contending for that victory, and the enemy is not going to cross this line in my life again. The level of worship, the level of holiness, the level of ministry, Lord, I stand in the measure you've brought me to, and looking for greater victories in the future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How long has it been since you lamented after the Lord? How long has it been? 20 years? Let's stand together this morning. Maybe there are some people here this morning that need to lament after the Lord. Haven't wept tears of surrender and repentance before the Lord in a long time. Say, I need a fresh visitation. God wants to set you free from Philistine enemies this morning, from the oppression that comes upon your life and upon your family. There's victory in Jesus Christ. Maybe you need some fresh blood on your life this morning. Say, Lord, put the blood here. Put the blood here, Lord. There's power in the blood. Put the blood on my life this morning. Cleanse me and touch me fresh. Put away the strange gods. Put away the pictures and images that aren't worthy of a man or woman of God. Flesh scenes and violence and crime. Stirring up of ungodliness. Serve the Lord only. Prepare your heart to serve the Lord. He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. I'm going to close out with worship this morning. I don't have a particular altar call except to say, if you need to lament after the Lord, please feel free to step out from where you are. Come to the front, the auditorium, the sanctuary. Lift your hands and your heart and say, Lord, I need a fresh visitation. I need a fresh walk with you, Lord. I'm oppressed. I'm bound under enemies. I need to walk in the victory of the sons of God, the liberty of the sons of God. Anyone this morning that needs the Lord, maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've wandered, but not only that, we've also turned to our own way. There's a rebellion inside of us. There's a willfulness inside of us that needs to be broken. It can only be broken by the Holy Spirit, by the power of Jesus Christ and the blood of the cross. It brings us back to Him. If you're here this morning and need Jesus Christ as your Savior, please slip out from where you are. People will be at the front to pray for you and bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Came to pass that the time was long. It was 20 years. And the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. I pray for a spirit of lamenting and crying out to the Lord. Brokenness and surrender to be on this house of God, every family and every person. We would draw near to the Lord. When God's people get serious about the Lord gets serious about them. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. The altars are open. Any others that want to come and stand in the presence of God, receive prayer, you're so welcome. this morning for a few moments in closing. Let's each of us surrender our hearts to the Lord in a fresh way. Call out for His presence. Call out for His anointing. Call out for His life to be upon us and within us. In the name of Jesus.